Okay, let's get it. Locked on LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona. LSU into game week prep now, getting ready for the Florida Gators. Walkthrough on Monday, full padded practice on Tuesday, and some pretty good news for some returnees to practice, which we'll get to here shortly. I wanted to start, though, quickly, and maybe this isn't like the best place to start considering there's some newsworthy stuff going on, you know, around the game, but on Monday, a couple of LSU players met with the media, and notable players, Joe Burrow, Caleb Von Chasson, and talked about the Florida game, and there's some perception out there that these comments would be taken as bulletin board material. Here's what Joe Burrow had to say.
Yeah, everyone says that LSU has a lot of different rivals. I've heard, I mean, we have a trophy with Arkansas, Florida's a rival, Ole Miss is supposedly a rival, Alabama, but I think this is the biggest one. I don't like them very much. I know they don't like us very much, and that's kind of been the talk around here, but you just kind of have to keep your emotions in check in a game like this.
Okay, so Burrow doesn't like Florida. No surprise. Went there last year, took the L, threw a couple of picks, a late interception, a pick six that sealed it. So no surprise. That doesn't like Florida. Now here's what Caleb Von Chasson had to say.
He don't. He's not even going to sugarcoat it. It's just something that, you know what I'm saying, just goes wrong with the history of the programs. Obviously, two great teams that just, it just bad blood colliding, very passionate programs, and it's going to be something that's going to be exposed Saturday night.
Someone, this might be sort of, you know, just counter-cultural here, but someone's going to have to explain to me why that's a bad thing. Like, why do we fear bulletin board material so much? If you need bulletin board material in the LSU Florida game to get up, then you probably shouldn't be playing in this game. And maybe that's cliche to say, but quite honestly, and maybe this is just the talk show host in me coming out, I would rather press conferences sound more like boxing match build or MMA built fighter build up, or even pro wrestling, man, where you have animosity and you're building up the intrigue in the fight. The blah blah coaches speak that we deal with, the mundane minutiae where nobody tries to say anything because they're afraid of how it's going to be interpreted, it's just so boring. Sports is an emotional thing. It's why we love it. It's why we get elated when our team wins and why we crash down and sulk for days when they lose a big game, because it matters and because there is emotion. Why do we try to turn coaches and players into robots? Fans have emotion. So do coaches and players. I love when we see it. And you know what? This is why the LSU Florida game has become great. And I understand, as well as anybody, LSU's beef with the Florida game. It's not because they don't want to play Florida. It's because in playing Florida every year as part of the permanent opponent agreement, there is inequitable scheduling in the SEC. It's not equal for LSU to play Florida every year while Ole Miss gets to play Vandy or Alabama gets to play the dumpster fire that is Tennessee. That's inequitable. There needs to be more of an even rotation. And some years it's not going to work out in your favor, and some years it does. Look, LSU got Vandy this year where Georgia rotated off. But the bottom line is, it's not having to play Florida. There have been some amazing games between LSU and Florida, and quite honestly, that's what's made this great. The best rivalries are built organically. I don't need LSU and Arkansas the day after Thanksgiving for a golden boot to jive and to get my juices flowing. You know what I need? I need LSU in 1997 taking down number one in the country, tearing down the goalposts, and then a year later, Steve Spurrier being so petty that he decided he was going to wear white jerseys at home. So LSU said, screw it, we're not wearing purple, we're going to wear gold. You know what I need from LSU in Florida? I need 2003, when LSU's undefeated season was ruined by the Gators. You know what I need? I need five turnovers by Florida in the 05 game when LSU won a close one in Baton Rouge. I need fake punts and field goals and Brad Wing taunting Florida on the way into the end zone. I need Jacob Hester going for it on fourth down time after time after time again and converting. I need what we've seen in this rivalry, man. That's what makes it great. The fact that you got you know, like stepbrothers fighting with a hurricane coming over where and when the game's going to be played, and then you end up having this petty nonsense where games get played in the same stadium in consecutive years, and then there's like skeleton tigers being brought out by Florida players, and Florida thinks LSU's disrespecting Tom Petty because the band's playing the pregame salute at the end of the third quarter when they're doing a salute to Tom Petty. Look, the bottom line is all of that you throw into a pot, and the gumbo that comes out is an organic rivalry. LSU doesn't have a natural geographic rival. We know that. And who that rival has been has changed over the years. You know, in the 90s and 2000, the Auburn game was always the most fun. You go back into the 70s, and fans of that era will tell you they always wanted to beat the Bear. You go into the 50s and the 60s, and they're going to tell you about Ole Miss. For many decades, it was Tulane because of geography, but Tulane's program has waned. In the last 20 years, that certainly in the last 15 years, Florida has been the game that every year seemingly just carries more juice ever since Steve Spurrier left and LSU was able to get off the mat and LSU emerges to elite program. I love it. I want more of it, and that's what makes this week great. All right, now let's talk about what's actually going to happen on the field. We'll do that when we return. Locked on LSU, your team every day. Continuing here, Locked on LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona. Glad you're hanging out with us. I think it almost goes without saying that the single biggest matchup on the field this Saturday with LSU and Florida is going to be Florida's pass rush against the LSU offensive line. And so for context, of course, we talked about it all summer, that LSU had the offensive line was the weak link on the team a year ago, and just because you return everyone doesn't necessarily mean that you're better, right? So that coupled with Florida's pass rush and keeping Joe Burrow upright is the key. This was super interesting to me. ESPN.com ran with these numbers from Pro Football Focus, and I think this tells the story for Saturday. You watch Florida play against Miami. You've watched them play a handful of times this year. You watched what they were able to do in rattling Bo Nix in Auburn this past weekend, and you're like, man, Florida can really rush the passer. They really got a great defensive front. It's true. They lead the SEC in total pressure percentage at 56.9%. You don't need to memorize numbers, but just understand that teams have attempted 218 passes, or called 218 pass plays against Florida. The defense has created pressure on 124 of those plays. So more than half of the times that a quarterback tries to pass against Florida, they're pressured. That's astonishing. And they've got a 62.8% pass rush win percentage, which means when they're coming, 62% of the time, they get home. So here's the flip side of it. Florida is the best in the conference and among the best in the country at creating pressure on the quarterback. Joe Burrow is the best in the country at throwing when pressured. At the start of this week, Joe Burrow has the highest completion percentage when pressured. He completes 70.7% of his passes when he's pressured. Joe Burrow also has the highest touchdown to interception ratio in the country when pressured, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. And Burrow has the highest passer rating in the country when pressured, 151%. So basically, Florida is better than anybody in the SEC and among the best in the country at getting pressure on the quarterback. But Joe Burrow is the best, literally the best in the country at making teams pay for bringing pressure. This is the definition of a good-on-good matchup on Saturday that we're going to see. Florida's going to generate pressure, and more often than not, Joe Burrow is probably going to make them pay for it. This is one other interesting tidbit. We talked a lot about last week Ed Ingram's return. And the assumption has been with Lloyd Cushenberry in the middle, Ed Ingram and Damian Lewis at guards, the middle of your offensive line is going to be really solid. The question has been, you know, the edge guys, Deculus and Sadiq Charles returning this week. Pro Football Focus mentioned that the lowest graded LSU offensive lineman in pass blocking is Lloyd Cushenberry, which is surprising because he was LSU's most consistent lineman a year ago. But so far, through five games, Lloyd Cushenberry has allowed 12 pressures and four sacks. That's the worst on the LSU offensive line. Now, Florida, the interior of their line, has accounted for 29 pressures and six sacks. So the majority of Florida's pressure is coming from the edge, but that could be a place where they try to exploit LSU on Saturday. So something worth watching. Really interesting game within the game there. We'll knock out our final break here, come back, and we'll give you a little practice update as to who was on the practice field on Tuesday. Some good news for LSU. We are brought to you in part by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime. Let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter the promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Again, use the promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100 when you use the Vivid Seats app. Perfect this week with the Gators coming to Baton Rouge. All right, we'll wrap up next. Locked on LSU, your team every day. Wrapping up another edition of the Locked on LSU podcast, your team every day. We appreciate you as always. If you've not done so yet, please subscribe to the podcast. Help pass this on. Rate us on iTunes. That's all just a massive help, those metrics. So thank you to everyone who continues to listen and who has helped us grow here with the Locked on LSU podcast. Couple of notes. On Monday at practice, receiver Terrace Marshall was at practice going through workouts. Remember, broke his foot against Vanderbilt, had surgery the next day. They were hoping they might accelerate this timeline, but realistically, kind of looking at the Alabama game as the target date for him to return. So it was a surprise to many to see Marshall out there on Monday. He was not, however, out there on Tuesday. Rashard Lawrence, Michael Divinity, and Glenn Logan all were, however, practicing on Tuesday, and that is just massive. Lawrence and Logan have not played since the Texas game. So they've sat for 4 weeks. Exactly what all along we've said here that LSU should do. Just get to the Florida game undefeated and as healthy as you can possibly be, and it looks like that's where they are. So the fact that Rashard Lawrence was going full pads on Tuesday is fantastic, considering Ed Ogeron said last week that Lawrence had a setback. I've still been told the target for Glenn Logan looked more like the Auburn game. If they can accelerate that timeline and get him out on the field against Florida, a massive win because you've built some depth with a guy like Neil Farrell playing really well. You like Tyler Shelvin and Apuaika. You've been able to get Justin Thomas reps. And, of course, you've still got a senior in Braden Fajoco there. So lots of what appears to be really good news on the injury front for LSU as they've taken this last month, to get healthy because the gauntlet's here. It's Florida. You're at Mississippi State. You're home against Auburn. You got an open date. Then you're at Alabama. So this stretch here, this four-game stretch, will determine what LSU's playing for come the end of November and beginning of December. And it looks like they're going to be as healthy as they've been getting ready for it. All right, hopefully you'll join us tomorrow for another edition of the Locked on LSU podcast, your team every day. Until then, it's Locked on LSU, your team every day.